This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along. It's Betting Weekly Game Bet Match. It's your number one tennis betting podcast and YouTube show with myself, your host, Nigel Seeley, and our senior ATP Tour handicapper. It's Sean Calvert. Good afternoon to you, Sean, or good evening to you, Sean.
Yeah, good evening. It's almost feels a bit like spring at the minute, doesn't it? In the UK, it's after half past five now. It's still quite sunny out. Beautiful joys of spring, almost, you might
say.
Well,
I actually heard, believe it or not, today as I was coming back from the dog walk, I heard the ice cream man out and about today.
Is that the first time this year?
First time this year. He can't be selling many ice creams because it's only about 15 degrees. It's not. That hot.
Kids will eat them anytime though, weren't they? Even like December, kids will have an ice cream. I suppose it depends how many kids you've got around your area.
Well, my dad, I told you a story. My dad used to tell me every time you hear the ice cream music, it goes deal, it means he's run out of ice creams. But that's what he told us as kids.
How does that work? Oh, I see. Right.
Okay, so we didn't ever ask for one.
Yeah,
so
I wasn't quite sharp enough there. Okay,
So when the ice cream man used to turn up and didn't play the music, then he's
that's pretty good actually.
Ice creams. But every time they're playing the music, it means they've run out of ice creams, as you tell the neighbours.
So you were deprived of ice cream as a child, basically.
Hence my fantastic slim-like.
So every time you hear the jingle, now you're out there, are you? Before he sells out.
Yep, I'm out there. He sells out. I mean, my kids are a bit more sharp than that. And there must be something wrong with us in like the 70s. You know, we must have just sort of like accepted. We must have treated our dad as like heroes and just thought everything they said was the truth.
Because I think that was just your dad that did that. I don't think anybody else's dad ever did that.
We had four kids and all four kids of us all believed that. Now my kids would just say, don't be stupid, Dad. We're going to get ice creams. Even the three or four, they would like.
There's no way Logan would believe that.
No.
Certainly not now at the age of nine. I very much doubt he would have believed that at the age of like two or three either, to be honest.
He's
very cynical. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it or not. He's very cynical. He doesn't believe in many things. He certainly wouldn't believe that.
Well, I believed in Father Christmas till about 27. But anyway,
50-50 about that.
Very, very, very different times then. And very, very, very different times now in the world of tennis at the moment. I mean, obviously we spoke about Novak Djokovic. I've got criticized again on the comments saying that how can Seeley write off Novak Djokovic?
He's the main man.
Everybody criticizing me, but we got like a new look kind of feel around the tennis world at the moment in Indian Wells. There's four players remaining in the semifinals. The semifinals are tomorrow on Saturday.
And he's not in Miami either, is he, by the way? Sorry to interject.
Djokovic.
No, he's pulled out of Miami.
I see that. And I'm looking at Miami weather. I'm heading to Miami. Rain. He must have seen the weather forecast and thought,
I'm surprised. I'm not going in that case. That's normally me that goes to these places expecting to get a bit of sun and then gets a bit of rain. But they can change those forecasts, especially with the wind and stuff off the coast there. You'd be all right.
If you look at the weather forecast now, we land at 3 o'clock local time. 3 o'clock local time, it hits by a thunderstorm and it doesn't stop until Thursday. And that's the day, the following Thursday, and that's the day we're coming home. So it's not looking quite good at the moment.
And it's not like there's many courts with a roof. Just the one, isn't there?
Yep, and it's
the rest of them are out in the car park, aren't they?
They are, and I don't like that center court in the Hard Rock. I prefer the outside courts. So I think we went last year. Obviously, the outside courts are much quicker, and then the inside courts are much quicker than the center court. I can't like them, but anyway, we'll have to wait and see. The weather forecast changed. We went to Rome, didn't we, last year? Said it was going to rain all the time. It wasn't that bad, and
yeah, it was
the
all right.
Forecast was horrendous. They got through on time, but the weather forecast. But at the moment, it's not looking good. But it's not. Let's have a look at the tennis. At the moment here in Indian Wells, there's four players remaining at the semi-final stage. Before we go on to the outright markets, because we've got a good opportunity to talk about the future here, because there's a rest day today on Friday, and the action starts tomorrow evening and tomorrow afternoon if you're stateside. What do you think the tournament so far? What have you made of it? We spoke about Alcaraz, thought he might be injured. We spoke about Medvedev, thought he might be injured. Both of them have reached the semi-finals pretty impressively. What do you look at it? What do you think of it? And what do you think of the tournament as a whole? And what sort of pointers are we taking out of it for the remainder of the season?
Well, I can tell you it's going to be the fewest underdog winners at any Indian Wells since either 2014 or 2016, depending on how many we get in the last three matches. I did kind of get the feeling after the first sort of two or three rounds that it wasn't going well for underdog backers. So, and it hasn't worked out that way, has it? Underdog backers haven't done well. Very few, as I say, the fewest in the last 10 years or so. And three of the four quarter winner favourites, if you like, have got through. The one exception obviously being Novak Djokovic. So it's looking at the minute like the men's elite right now as we stand are three of the four players that we're about to talk about, isn't it? Medvedev, Sinner and Alcaraz. Djokovic at the minute, you know, we're not too sure about him, but annoyingly it's kind of gone to the seedings. A lot of favourites have won, so not really my kind of tournament. But I should say the semi-final, you do get an average of 36% underdog winners in the semi-final, which is the equal best return of any round in this tournament apart from round one. So there's certainly hope for underdog backers in semi-finals, as history shows.
And we're going to come on to the semi-finals in a minute. Before we do that, let's look at the tournament future prices. Yannick Sinner, the Australian Open champion, is on his unbeaten run. I think 19 matches now on a winning run, hasn't lost in 2024. He is the tournament favourite at plus 120. Carlos Alcaraz, the Wimbledon champion, is $2. Daniil Medvedev is plus 210. Always the sort of the... Medvedev is always the guy that in the value market. I always think he's sort of overrated by the books. And Tommy Paul, obviously the light for the American hopes. Tommy Paul's done amazingly well to get to the semi-final, but he's a 10-1 outsider to win the tournament here. So they're the four remaining players. They're the outright markets, plus 120 Sinner, plus $2 Alcaraz, 210 Medvedev, and 10-1 Tommy Paul. What do you make of those odds?
I think Sinner's too short. I really do. I've got a bet in this, which we will come on to. I'll probably talk about it in a minute, unless you want me to do it now. But
no, take it away.
Well, it kind of affects what we're going to say about the matches to come. But in a nutshell, I think Sinner's just too short. I'll go into the statistics of why I think he's too short in a bit, and when we talk about the Alcaraz match. But I couldn't be backing Sinner at that price. I know he's had a great start to the season. I know he's in the form of his life and all the rest of it, but he's got a bad match in him coming up at some point. He's not going to go the rest of the season unbeaten. You wouldn't have thought that'd be an absolute miracle. Now he's got to beat Alcaraz and Medvedev back to back. He's playing Saturday and Sunday. There's no rest day in between. The issue for me with Sinner is largely being physical. If he has a real old scrap with Alcaraz, which he may well do, comes through that, he's going to find himself in the same position that he was in Miami last year, where he's got to play Medvedev in the final, and he didn't strip fit for the final at all, did he? And obviously, you consider that Medvedev, had the Australian Open final been best of three, he'd have lost that in straight sets. So he's got two extremely tough matches in consecutive days. He's just way too short for me. So I'm taking a different view on this one.
Do you see anything changing in him that he may be able to have the physicality to go back to back? You know, obviously he's
not
on it.
Really?
He's got confidence. I mean, he's flying. He's playing great tennis. I mean,
the thing that's changed, I think it's confidence. Yeah, his confidence is obviously flying. He's changed his service motion as well. That's helping him get a bit more out of his serve. But physically, I'm still looking at him. I'm not seeing a different kind of physique to him as in years gone by. You know, I've often hark back to Andy Murray when he first came on the circuit, and he was quite slender kind of guy, wasn't he? He did a ton of work physically, and he looked completely different, didn't he, in about two or three years after he first burst on the scene. Sinner looks exactly
Alcaraz,
the same to
Alcaraz
me.
As well. Alcaraz.
Alcaraz as well, yeah. Sinner, for me, I don't know whether you've noticed any difference, but he looks exactly the same. He doesn't look like he's put on any particular muscle. He hasn't really been physically tested, has he, yet this year? You know, he pretty much breezed through the Australian Open. I know we had to play five sets in the final, but he was playing against a guy who was running on fumes in Medvedev. Physically, this season, for me, Sinner's not been tested. If he goes long against Alcaraz, and Medvedev breezes past Paul, two of things which are quite possible. You know, we'll see how this 2024 version of Sinner is playing back to back matches. He hasn't had to play back to back matches this season. You know, there's longer time now in these Masters, isn't there? And obviously, Grand Slams, you get a day off anyway. So we'll see if this physical specimen is any better than he was in previous years.
So we'll have a look at the best angles to attack this match, because there is a possibility that he could beat Alcaraz in a tight match and then play Medvedev and be spent. So
Yeah, that's very possible.
I don't want to jump ahead of where you might be going because we're going to come on to the match in a minute. But should I ask for the best way to approach when we talk about it? Let's just talk about matches.
We'll talk about it when we do the Alcaraz match in a minute.
Well, let's go with the Alcaraz first match here. I mean, this Sinner match now is -136 for Jannik Sinner. It's going to be the... I don't think he's ever started a match favourite against Carlos Alcaraz. He's -136 to win this one. Maybe at the early part of the career, but certainly not in the last couple of years. Carlos Alcaraz is +108. The spread here is 1.5, -108. Sinner giving up the 1.5 and Alcaraz receiving 1.5 +118. Total again, 22.5. That looks quite cheap. -122 for the over, -104 for the under. The market has just fallen in love with Sinner. I mean, absolutely fallen in love with it. This time last year, the market was in love with Alcaraz. Now Sinner is the new golden boy. He's on this unbeaten run. Alcaraz, there's a question mark about his fitness. But if this goes deep, like you said, the third set, you know, we want to be looking, I think you want to be looking more towards Alcaraz and Sinner. If you look at their recent meetings, they met three times in 2023, two wins for Sinner. They won the last two matches, actually, in fact, in Miami and Beijing. In Indian Wells, in this tournament, Alcaraz won 7-6, 6-3 last year at the semi-final stage, exactly the same stage. Do you know what price he was there in that semi-final?
I do.
-175.
1.6 Alcaraz was.
Yeah, -175 Alcaraz. And today you can bet him at +108. We know Sinner's improved, but the market with Alcaraz is, you know, has he done anything wrong? Has he gone backwards that much? I don't think so.
No, I think this is just all about how well Sinner's been playing in the last sort of 2-3 months. And I think it's much, much too short. Hopefully Alcaraz won't be affected by the bee stings. I don't know whether people saw that. I didn't see any of that at Indian Wells. There was no bees flying around when I was there, but got stung on the head, didn't he, yesterday, Alcaraz? So hopefully he'll be all right for that. Look, from a betting angle, you know, the bookies have got this wrong an awful lot. The underdogs won six of the eight meetings that they've had. The underdogs won six of them. So the layers aren't often right about this. And one of the ones that did go to the favorite was a five-setter. So there's that factor. I mean, Alcaraz was a -283 and a -208 favorite for their two previous meetings. Now we're getting plus money. The thing I like about Alcaraz here is that I feel like the conditions suit him better than pretty much any other hard court. I feel like they suit him better than Sinner. I would prefer Sinner on a slightly quicker surface. I'm not saying Sinner can't play on this surface. Of course he can, but I feel like Alcaraz is the one who really relishes these conditions the most, and that can be highlighted by the stats. This Indian Wells so far, Carlos Alcaraz is coming into the semi-final with a service points one and return points one total of 124. He's held serve 97% of the time, and his service hold and break total is an insane 142. I mean, you cannot get better than that at any tournament anywhere in the world from anybody. Compare that with Jannik Sinner. His numbers are excellent, but they're not as good as those of Alcaraz. His service points one and return points one total is 120, which is great, but it's still 4 points behind Alcaraz. Also 97% holds of serve, exactly the same. And his service hold and break total is 131, which in normal circumstances you would say would be fabulous, but it's a full 12 points behind what Alcaraz has achieved. Now, if we look at all-time records at Indian Wells, Alcaraz, 88% win rate compared to 85% for Sinner, so he's ahead there. And his service points one and return points one total here is 114, which is 4 points better than Sinner's 110. So it shows you how well Alcaraz plays here. Sinner doesn't play bad. You know, those numbers are excellent from Sinner, but they're not as good as Carlos's. Now, if you take the head-to-head on hard courts, five meetings I think they've had on hard courts, actually, Alcaraz leads the service points one and return points one total by 102-98. So he's ahead there as well. So I'm not seeing what's really favoring Sinner other than current form. And, you know, and people can, you know, people do this recency bias thing, don't they? They see a player who's playing well at the moment and then they just assume that he's going to carry on playing at that level. Whereas the reverse is true of Alcaraz. He's not been at his peak probably since Wimbledon last year, but he looks now to be showing that. And a lot of that was due to injury though, wasn't it? Now he's looking like he's in great form again. You know, what's not to like about the performances from Carlos Alcaraz, this Indian Wells, other than the very first set against Arnaldi? Since then, he's been absolutely fabulous, as those numbers show. So in this situation, I'm more than happy to take Alcaraz to win the match. I'm not going to bet him to win the match. I'm going to bet him to win the tournament because I feel, excuse me, I feel like if he beats Sinner, he's got that great record that we've always talked about against Medvedev. Let's assume it's going to be Medvedev. So I feel like if Alcaraz beats Sinner, he's going to beat Medvedev as well. So if you take the 2-1 about him winning the tournament, I think that's going to be my bet. I'm not usually one to bet in these semi-final, final situations unless I see some clear value. And for me, this is quite clear.
Yeah, clear value, Carlos Alcaraz. And also, it's a big match for the Spaniard as well because he was the main man, wasn't he? He was the one who's going to challenge, take over from Djokovic, number one, win multiple Grand Slams. And now Sinner's come along and sort of stolen his mantle. So it's a
pressure's off then, that case, isn't it?
It's a big him. Match for him to really...
The pressure's actually on Sinner now, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And, I'm a big Sinner fan. I think if someone said to me now, if I could bet which one would have the most majors in their season over their career, I'd bet Sinner. I'd make Sinner the favourite. But I do think this match is a genuine pick and match. I think it's a 50-50 call. And to get plus 108 is a big price. And I think Sinner's a massive favourite for the tournament for the reasons you said, because he could conceivably win this match. But in the final against Medvedev, if he comes through a long match here, I'd want to be on Medvedev again at a nice plus money price.
Yeah, Medvedev doesn't make things easy, does he? I mean, every rally, Medvedev will be trying to make it a physical test if that match happens to come to fruition, which I hope it doesn't. But if it did, we'll see how this new Sinner is physically. You know, there's nothing wrong with his game. His game's in absolutely fabulous working order. You know, don't get me wrong, but it's just about the odds. You know, as you said, I think this is roughly a pick'em. You'd probably make Sinner a slight favourite, but not this much of a favourite. So given Alcaraz has got a great record against Medvedev and plays him in what I would conceive to be favourable conditions, I'm happy to take Alcaraz to win the tournament here.
Yeah, plus 108 currently for Alcaraz to win this match. Sean's official pick will be on Alcaraz to win the tournament. But if you want to take the plus 108, I would suggest to take that price because I don't believe that will start around those prices. And obviously, if there's a move for Alcaraz, there's going to be a move for him on the tournament winner market as well because obviously the two of them are correlated at this stage. So, yeah, head across to the BetRivers website, 2-1 to win the tournament. That is Sean's pick, plus 108 to win the match if you want to get him to win Sinner. Just a fade for Sinner really in the tournament is the strategy we're going to come here. Remember, whoever's in the final tomorrow, Sunday, Sean will be giving you a little pick on the Instagram account and also on our Twitter accounts. Remember, make sure you follow at Because We Win. We won't be doing a podcast over the weekend for the final on Sunday, but what we will do, we'll have some stuff on our social media account because the timings won't allow us to do that, give you enough time. So check out the Twitter account and also the Instagram account at Because We Win, where you'll see the pick there. And also remember to check out BetRivers' offer during the Sunshine Double, which is here and in Miami. BetRivers is offering a tennis net gains parlay profit boost. Each day, you can receive a profit boost of 25% or more for a tennis parlay wager of 3 legs or more. See the BetRivers app for details. Obviously, there's 2 matches in the men's. There's also 2 matches in the women's and obviously the women's final as well. So you can parlay them up and get a 25% profit boost on that parlay. Great offer from BetRivers. We touched on it a minute ago about Daniel Medvedev not making things difficult, making things very difficult for whoever he plays. And Tommy Paul, leading the American hopes, has got a tough battle here against the Russian. Medvedev is -286 to win this match, +220 for Tommy Paul. The spread is 3.5, +102 for Paul, -132 for Medvedev. And the total here is 22.5. Remember, both of these matches are... We're waiting to see the order play, but the first match will start at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Then the match will probably follow that or maybe a little bit later on in the evening. So scheduling could be quite important here as well. Couldn't it, Sean, if someone's a bit later on? But Medvedev has had no problems against Tommy Paul in their 2 previous meetings. They met twice before, one in Beijing, which he won 6-2, 6-1, very easy. And he won on the clay court at the French Open back in 2021 in 4 sets. Tommy Paul's played really well, I thought, to get here. He played very well against Casper Ruud, and Blokey had a very bad head-to-head record against. He overturned that head-to-head record. Can he overturn this one here against a number 4 seed who leads 2-0?
I'd be very surprised if he did. I don't think the scheduling's going to save him, really. I can't see what difference it's going to make, to be honest. I'm not sure what Tommy Paul really has in his locker to hurt Daniil Medvedev with, really. You know, aside from the first set they contested against each other on the clay at the French, it's been extremely comfortable for Medvedev. You know, Tommy Paul, to get anything out of this matchup, he's really got to redline his game. He's got to go for the lines. He's got to be super aggressive. He's got to come forward. He's got to play a bit of serve and volley, but you know, a few drop shots, all that sort of stuff. I just don't think he can do it. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for most people over the course of a match. He might be able to do it for a period in the match, but I can't see him being able to do it over the course of a full two or three sets against Medvedev. I mean, the head to head is shocking, really. If I was Tommy Paul's coach, I'd keep him away from these statistics ahead of this match. Of the two matches they've played in their career, the service points won and return points won total is 119 to Medvedev, 81 to Tommy Paul. Now, Tommy Paul wins less than half of his service points and he holds serve less than 50% of the time. So in these slowish conditions in Indian Wells, I'm not sure what he's, you know, he doesn't have a particularly huge serve. You know, he's a solid top 20 player. You know, he does have a few decent wins over top players to his name, but I can't see how he's going to win this one. Unless Medvedev has a really awful day and Paul brings something to the table that he hasn't done before, i.e. maybe he goes full out aggression, serving and volleying an awful lot, a totally different game plan. If he sticks with his kind of stock game, I don't see how it's going to hurt Medvedev. And Medvedev's first serve has been way more effective than Paul's as well. Medvedev's won a huge 28% more points on his first serve than Tommy Paul has. The only positive I can find for Tommy Paul in this particular leading up to this particular match is that he does have a slightly better record at Indian Wells than Medvedev does in terms of service points won and return points won. Medvedev's 105, Paul's 106. That's great, but in this particular matchup, you know, he played all right against Casper Ruud. He played pretty decent for two sets, awful for one set. I just don't think he's got it in him to play the level he needs to play to beat Medvedev over the course of two or three sets. Periods, yeah, I can't see him winning. I can't see him keeping those periods up for long enough to emerge with the win. I think it's Medvedev all day long here. I'd be very surprised if Tommy Paul won this. I'm slightly tempted with Medvedev -4.5 here at plus 135 at BetRivers. I can't see Paul really making this that competitive, to be honest.
Or Medvedev to win 2-0. I like the 2-0 Medvedev,
yeah,
which is -113. So just a little bit under even money. But I agree with you. I mean, Medvedev's stats and his record last year, he was the best hardcourt player last year. Won Qatar, won Dubai, got to the final here in Indian Wells, then wanted to win Miami. I mean, he was the man to beat on the hardcourts last year. And I always think he's the I always think at 7-1, 8-1, he's like the value on the tournament futures. You know,
in Australia, didn't we? Got a little bit unlucky. Yeah. Two sets up in the final. He can't get much closer than that.
Exactly. And I just think he seems to be, the market doesn't really like him. I don't think he's a fashionable player like Sinner or Alcaraz, but he's always, just at the prices, he's always going to be there. I like Medvedev. If he gets to the final, and obviously we're going to see your pick tomorrow, but I think if Medvedev gets to the final, I know it's not what you want to hear because we're going with Alcaraz, but I think in the final, I think he'll push every place in the final close because they won't like playing.
I'm sure he will, but I don't fancy him to beat Alcaraz in these conditions. You know, he might do, obviously, but I would be in the Alcaraz camp there for sure.
Well, Alcaraz has got a fantastic, and that's why the bet is the $2 bet is taking Alcaraz to win at $2 is a brilliant bet because when they met in the final last year, Alcaraz started around about -150, and he's going to probably start around that kind of price again. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a strategy. But I just think Medvedev is just one of them players that no one wants to play. He's so awkward and he's gangly and he's just the spot.
I wouldn't want to play him. No, I wouldn't.
But yeah, I think it'll be too tough for Tommy Paul. Unfortunately for the American supporters, American bettors, we expect Tommy Paul to fall short. He's ahead of the semi-final, in the semi-final, just ahead of the final. But our pick here, the official pick, is Carlos Alcaraz at 2-1 to win the Indian Wells tournament. Defending champion to defend his title at 2-1. The market is completely wrong on that. Yannick Sinner is a very, very short favourite, and we want to fade Yannick Sinner in that market. Remember, there are three ways you can follow all the activities we have here at Betting Weekly Studios. You can follow us on our Twitter and our Instagram account, on our social medias, at Because We Win. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Betting Weekly Studios. Loads of great content coming along there. Please give us a like. Please give us a message there. Any questions you want answered, we're always happy to answer your questions. So please give us any questions, anything you want there. Put it on the comments section and we'll respond to those. And also download our podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, which is available on all your preferred podcast providers. Sean, thank you very much. I look forward to seeing what we have in the final. But remember, these matches are on Saturday. They are 3 p.m. local time, so loads of time to head to the Bet Rivers. But one thing I will say, the plus 108 on our crest will not last. That will probably be around about even money come the start of this match, which means the 2-1 on the tournament future will not be there either. So head across very quickly to get that price. Sean, have a good night. Take care. Thank you very much for joining me. And that's our final Betting Weekly game bet match of the week. And we'll be back next week looking at all the action in Miami. Take care.